today we have this like, no, you cannot make things subjective. It shouldn't be about you. Everything has to be neutral. Everything has to be objective, right? No, it's not. Humans don't work like that. We are inspired, especially in education. It's all about inspiring, right? The Prophet ﷺ inspired the Sahaba. They were ready. They would say, Fidaka ya Rasulullah, like may I be sacrificed for you, O Muhammad, you know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they loved the Prophet ﷺ. He inspired every single cell in their bodies because the Prophet ﷺ was able to make connections to the Sahaba. It's called a connection, a personal connection. And this is how our Islamic knowledge has been passed on for over 14 centuries through the student-teacher connection, right? That's how I try to usually inspire my students, connect to them, make it personal. That's my philosophy of education. There has to be a connection. If there's no connection, as Ali radiallahu anhu said, he said, if the words come from the mouth only, yeah, they just enter the ears and that's it. But he said, the words come from the heart, then they enter the heart.
The key element, I believe, that can make that connection strong is to be honest and sincere. The teacher needs to come from a sincere heart and perspective. And also the one who's receiving it should be open and sincere. And then I think that's when you'll get a real strong connection, because you don't get sometimes those real conversations. You know, people will just tell you what you want to hear in most instances.
What's called in education modeling, right? Is, you know, you model a certain behavior that you want, or a certain, you know, different aspects of your life. And then you expect people to come close to that, right? So teachers model expected behavior, what we call best practices. And then you expect students to follow those, right? So if you look at the core of the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sunnah, that's exactly what it is. Sometimes we've reduced that only to maybe growing the beard, or, you know, having a thobe, or certain sunnahs like the miswak and so on. But I believe that one of the most important sunnahs is knowing how to model, how to raise young boys and to make them into men, and how to focus on raising and reviving, you know, the fitrah in our boys, and to help them make that transition into manhood. Our objective should always be to facilitate that transition into adulthood and getting closer to imitating and modeling themselves according to that standard, that base, which we call the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a big rift in the relationship between adults and our generation, parents, teachers, and so on, and the students, the young, the next generation that's coming up. They're being educated, they're being parented by other than parents, other than the masjid, other than the imams, other than the people who are supposed to be part of that, you know, nurturing environment, stakeholders that were supposed to be part of the tarbiyah process. Human beings need something to model according to, or they need something to build. We scaffold. We build on templates. First and foremost, obviously, in our formative stages, we do it according to our parents, mostly. Sadly, I mean, right now, if you're asking me, because parents are not that involved, they're very, very busy with their jobs. Most households now in the West do have a two-income household, so mother and father's working. And as we can see, it's being pushed more and more. So kids are left to model according to the next thing that's available, which they're exposed to, and that is, of course, social media. Okay, they live with their mobile phones, internet, and the internet is a gateway to the world. So if you ask me, who do they model themselves according to? Well, the famous movie stars, the famous influencers on social media, singers, and so on, who, I might add, don't have the best moral compass. And that's not me for me to judge as a person. It's the kind of behavior that they exemplify on these platforms without any shame, which always reminds me of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's min awwal kalam an-nubuwa, from the first things that was revealed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha lam tastahi fasna ma shit." If you are not shy, or if you're not ashamed, then do what you please, right? And this is the trend. This is the culture. This is what our youth have available. They might see their parents. They might see an imam in the masjid maybe once a week on Friday. They might go to halaqa if they're blessed to attend that. But most of the time, this is what's called instructional time in education, right? It's the time when something is drilled into you. And you consume certain knowledge, right? So they are exposed to their phones, Instagram, WhatsApp, TikTok, Facebook, quite a few hours a day. And each and every bit of information that they're absorbing, it does something to their brain. It changes them. And then all that, the sum of all that, it's called total past learning history, is basically will make up your personality in the end. Once it gets solidified, it becomes your ID, and then that's basically who you are. But that's made up different bits of information that you've accumulated over the years.
Because I've seen some rhetoric from parents who want a very hands-off approach, and they feel they're more progressive because maybe their parents were domineering. Just want to let our kids do whatever they want to do. We'll provide them the choices, and then they'll choose what's correct.
Yeah, this is the lack of accountability that's been injected and instilled in the 21st century society. It's this hands-off type of parenting. And that goes to show that, obviously, you have to make hard decisions when you parent. And parents are responsible, and they have to take accountability, and they have to make those hard decisions. And those decisions are sometimes not liked by kids, you know. There's a level of authority that the parent has to understand. There's a chain of command that's been, you know, divinely given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the problem is that parents today, they don't want to be blamed for the failure of parenting. They don't want to make those hard decisions. But at the same time, you know, the curriculum, policy, culture is telling them, hands off. Let them pick everything. You know, they're going to figure it out. Dr. Malik Badri talks in his book about this, and he says that it's because Western parenting has been influencing Muslim parents, educators, psychologists, policy has been calling for a hands-off approach. You don't get involved. Let kids discover. It is a student-centered education. What does that mean? The process of education is a transfer of knowledge. It's not just the discovery of knowledge. You need foundations. You need guidance. What is a student-centered, you know? Like, and the thing is, you start developing this jargon and these slogans, and you internalize them, and you make them, if enough people say the same thing, it becomes like it's a truth.
As you mentioned, they're conditioning parents, oh, you have to give the child his or her independence. But then at the same time, they have programs and agendas of how they want these future generation of children to think and behave and act. Because you can't go, for example, I can walk into learning surgery, you know, as a student, you know, not becoming a fully graduated doctor. It's a student-centered approach. I should be able to cut wherever you have to give me the direction. I need the instructions. But for life, like your life's purpose, your life's values, your principles that will affect your relationships, that will affect, you know, your emotional and your physical, spiritual well-being. No, just let them, let the kid do, he'll figure it out, right? They're old enough to discover on their own. And so it's, there's a lot of hypocrisy, and there's a lot of double speak in how they give these type of instructions and this type of a guidance to, you know, to parents. A lot of times the parents are gaslit. They're like, it's your fault. You know, if anything happens wrong, it's your fault, right?
I mean, it's so, like everyone can parent your children except parents.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But there's an attitude prevailing from youth and this Muslim generation in general, that we want to avoid conflict and challenge. And I always try to promote the benefit of challenge and being uncomfortable and embracing, you know, different difficult situations or even awkward situations. Just embrace it. Just embrace all of those things. And oftentimes what resonates with the youth is that when you share personal experience and challenges and say, hey, listen, this is what I went through, and that's who I am today because I embraced that challenge.
Well, I think one of the ways I connected to my students and still connect to them is how I became Muslim, you know, and where I came from, the background that I came from. There's a lot of issues that I've went through and I've seen, and I was pretty much alone since I was like 14. And that, those difficulties, I can say I didn't have a like a teenage life, you know, like other kids. I was working 2 or 3 jobs. I was working midnights. I would work in factories, you know, on the line. I would work cleaning toilets. So, but I am today what I am because of that. You know what I mean? And those, I knew at that time when I was scrubbing those toilets, I knew that that's just a means for me to get me to where I want to. I've always had a vision, a direction, a dream, you know, an objective, which youth don't have today. That's the problem. They're just roaming around in the world with no objective. They have no objective. This is probably the greatest problem. A man or a boy or whatever with no objective is a broken man. This is not a real man. So when I talk about my story and what I've gone through, they do connect. And that gives me hope, because I think if more people talk about real stuff, real life experiences that they've gone through, and everyone's got a story, I think our youth will connect.
Do I feel that the New York police are providing enough protection, or do I have to have protection of my own? I look for protection from Allah.